This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits in music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars. Players only, come on, put your pinky
rings up to the moon. To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
A genius, a man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you!
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive!
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
Watch your tongue, I'll have it cut from your head.
Alright, alright. Rat Pack Sports Show. We back in the building. Another week, another Sunday night, another NFL Sunday. Second to the last week of the regular season. As we go into a week 18 for the first time ever. But tonight we're going to talk a lot of NFL. Well, we may get Nicholas Lane on, talk a little bit of NBA. But we're going to talk a lot of NFL. We got some people calling in tonight. A hot topic. So if you're listening, you want to call in 727-565-1585. Give us till about 9, maybe like 30 minutes before we open the lines up for callers. We'll have our guests as usual. We got one of them right here, Mr. William Graves. We're going to get another call here soon from a couple others. Tonight is going to be hot. I can tell you that right now. There's going to be a discussion here. And we'll see. But you can find us on Facebook, Rat Pack Sports Show. You can find us as well on Twitter at Rat Pack Sports. You can find us on Spreaker, Rat Pack Sports Show. You can also go on there, and we are uploading our Breaking Bread shows on there as well. So you'll be able to find all that stuff on Spreaker under Rat Pack Sports Show. So, well, actually, Rat Pack Radio. You'll be able to find Rat Pack Sports Show and the Breaking Bread podcast under the Rat Pack Radio account. And we had a show yesterday went good for the intro. We didn't want to come in too heavy for the intro show, but we went good. But it, next week, we got some people coming in. We got a couple friends of mine and some other callers as well that are confirmed to be on the show next Saturday. So as things go on for that show, we'll be ramping things up a little bit and, you know, getting things going. But for tonight, let's go ahead and get into this because we're going to have a debate. We're going to talk about today's games. I don't know about a lot of upsets. There were some teams that lost, but I'm not sure about any upsets. We did have, what is game scores? Okay, so we did have the Patriots just annihilate the Jaguars. You know, to me, that's not nothing big. I mean, it's the Jaguars, right? Well, Buccaneers pulled out one against the Jets. We'll get into that game here in a little bit. Vikings are currently playing the Packers. Bills, you know, get it together in the second half to pull the game out against the Falcons in Buffalo. You know, in a snowstorm. Well, not a snowstorm, but it was some wet weather. You know, Bears beat the Giants. Bengals beat the Chiefs. And I know to some that might be considered, you know, a upset. But as I showed the guys this afternoon in the chat group, I actually picked the Bengals to beat the Chiefs. So I feel good about that. Titans over the Dolphins, Raiders over the Colts. Not sure how much of an upset. I mean, the Raiders are, you know, one of those teams that's fighting for, you know, a playoff spot. And they've been up and down all season, but they do have the talent to come out and beat a good team. The Colts are a good team. Raiders are a good team. So I don't consider that an upset, but in Indy, you know, it's a big win for the Raiders. Eagles outlast the Washington football team, and I'm sure Boss Hogg, when he gets on, he'll get into this game here as well. Rams over the Ravens. And this is a Ravens team. You know, we want to talk about injuries, folks. We want to make excuses for injuries. This Ravens team has been decimated with the injury bug all year long. They've been decimated with, you know, people not being able to play due to the COVID protocols. So, and they're 8-8. And they haven't played without their starting quarterback for the last 4 weeks. And they still play hard. They still play, you know, tough games. And, you know, for the Ravens fans out there, just a down year. But this is a good team. So as we spoke about over the last couple of shows here about the Ravens, if I'm a Ravens fan, I'm not gonna be one of those fans that are upset and saying, hey, we need to make some wholesale changes. You don't need to really do anything. Just come back next season healthy and maybe add a couple players at a few skill positions, upgrade the offensive line a little bit because they do struggle for pass protection, even with Jackson in there as a quarterback. Chargers over the Broncos, 49ers over the Texans, Arizona over Dallas. I know some, like, you know, that's a big win for Arizona, but let's remember now, Arizona for about 60% of the season was a top team in the NFC. So that is a good team. And they went in without Hopkins. And they went in without James Conner. And they got a win in Dallas. So that's a big win for Arizona. And, you know, kind of a letdown for the Cowboys, but you can't be too upset because the Cardinals are actually, you know, a really good team. Saints over the Panthers. And the Seahawks over the Lions. Nothing too shocking. We got the Steelers and the Browns tomorrow night. And that game actually has some playoff implications on it. So, that should be a good game to watch. But tonight we got Green Bay and Minnesota. 6-0 Green Bay. Early second quarter. Yeah, so that is the results from this week, and we'll get into a little bit on all these games, but as a Bucks fan, we always start things off talking Bucks football. And, you know, the Bucks came into the game looking to build upon their NFC South championship. And, you know, these games against late in the season against teams like the Jets, you know, I like to call them trap games because people expect so much, and then when the games, you know, the game starts, something else happens. So that's what we got today against the Jets, and we always say the old saying, any given Sunday, right? Any given Sunday, you know, anybody can be beat. That's legitimate. This is professional sports, and these other guys on the other side of the ball, regardless of how trash their team is, they get paid just like the players we root for. So any given Sunday, you have to come out, you have to be consistent, you have to play football, and you have to do the things necessary to get a win. Well, today almost was an any given Sunday moment for the Buccaneers. They went into the half down 2 scores, you know, against the Jets. And the Jets looked like they were going to go for the upset. Offensively, you know, again, they struggled a little bit, just in with some protection. I still don't feel like they run the ball enough. We rely on Brady, you know, a little bit too much, throwing the ball at times, but you know, that's on the play caller and to be able to mix up some, you know, running schemes in between all that just to ease up a little bit of pressure, you know, on the, you know, passing game. But defensively, we look bad. And, you know, I'm not even mad anymore when the defense play bad because I don't expect them to play well. I've been saying it all season. I've been saying it since last season. We're not a good defense. We're not. And I would argue all day long because all I have to do is go to the stat. All I have to do is go to the stat book. And that'll prove my argument. I don't care about sacks in the season. That absolutely means nothing when you can't stop nobody. Yeah, you could get sacks in bunches in some games and you can create a little bit of pressure here and there. But that don't ultimately mean you got a great defense. That just means you run a defense that's blitz heavy and you're going to get to the quarterback even when you can't stop anybody. So that's what's been happening. And today, we couldn't even do that at times. And second half, they got it together. So, I give them credit for adjusting. But just because you made an adjustment against the Jets, you're not gonna have me sit here and say, "Oh, we're good defense now." You still suck. You still suck. Passing game, passing wise, our defense is trash. We're getting gouged now in the running game. So I don't even know how good our run defense is anymore because we've been getting run on over the last, you know, month of the season. So if we aren't stopping the run and we already can't really stop the pass because our defense in pass coverage is at the bottom of the league, linebackers included, there's nothing we can do but try to outscore these teams because we're going to be in shootouts when it comes down to the playoffs. So I'm going to skip the first half. We're going to get to the second half and the incident. It's been a lot of speculation, but I think we're getting a little bit of confirmation on what happened. But I don't care what happened. As a lifelong sports enthusiast, somebody who played sports all my life and did it at a high level and was never a selfish player on any team I've been a part of, any team that I currently coach, I preach not being selfish, playing unselfish team ball. So what we saw from Antonio Brown today, come to the table with everything you got. It don't even matter to me. Because what you don't do in the middle of a game, unless it's a matter of fact, I ain't even seen a player lead the game in the middle of the game with a dude with finding out about a death in the family in the middle of the game. So we've never seen this before. Coach B.A. said he's never seen this before, and that dude got about 50 years in coaching or in football in general, probably longer than that. I'm sure a lot of us Bucs fans, we've seen the situation before dealing with Keyshawn Johnson. You know, we kind of had him sent home by.
Let me finish.
Because we have seen this. Keyshawn ain't leave in the middle of the game, but then Gruden sent him home. Then he sent him home for being a cancer. And right, I'm just saying. Then John Gruden sent Keyshawn packing in the middle of a season. That's all I'm asking. Your opinion on the situation doesn't matter. My point is it has happened with our franchise with another player. So it ain't happening in the middle of the game. But
hold on. I gotta get my Bailey's apple pie.
Yeah, you better go ahead and get it. You better go ahead and get it because you're going
because so. You know what?
Hey, and for the record, at this point, Keyshawn was a bigger player in our system than Antonio Brown is right now. So
now that's facts. That's facts. I will agree with you 110% on that. I will. Okay. So, well, we'll get in the Bailey's apple pie into the coffee.
Yeah, go ahead. Get in there.
So, if I'm not mistaken, you are right. I do believe that John Gruden did let Keyshawn Johnson go in the middle of the season. But here is the thing. Keyshawn did not do what AB did.
No, he didn't.
Okay, Keyshawn.
He didn't do what AB did. But my point is we've had a player that became disruptive. And the coach sent them home, which is true.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Now, on that note, okay, you got to talk about that proverbial elephant in the room, and anybody can say what they want to, okay. And, you know, it's all well good. It is. It really is. But AB has got some mental issues. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I am not. He has some mental problems.
No, I would say, you know, this is where I say we got to figure out a way to separate an attitude problem with a mental health issue. Because
tell me that he does not have a mental health issue.
Well, I mean,
bro,
which way you want to look at it?
He is not right.
He ain't been right for a long time. This is why he's not in Pittsburgh. He played two games in New England. They let him go. He went to the Raiders. Didn't even make it through training camp because he became a problem. And then from that point on, he sat home all the way up until the Bucs gave him a call with Tom Brady.
And I was about to say, let's just call a spade here. Because you know as well as I do, the only reason that he got onto the Buccaneers roster was because of Tom Brady. Had Tom Brady not said, hey, I want him on the team, I want to give him a shot, you know as well as I do, I don't know if he would be sitting at home per se. Another team might have taken a chance on him, but I'm about 95% sure. Actually, no, I'm about 99.9% sure that had Tom Brady not went to bat for AB, AB would not have been on the Buccaneers because Bruce Arians didn't want him there.
No, he even came out and said in the press conference he didn't want him. He didn't want the diva.
Now we're gonna change gears here. Okay, and the media. Now, did the media force AB to do what he did? No, but there are some folks in the media that were trappers. They tried to trap AB. When asking him questions, they try to push issues and all that. This whole fake COVID card thing. Yeah, no, it wasn't right for him to do it. The man served his suspension, and he went on about his business. Okay, yes, his first press conference back. Okay, if you want to ask him about it, okay, that's all well and good. That's fine. But now you're going to steadily sit there. Press conference after press conference, all through the week, after the game last week, and after the game last week, you're still going to sit there and ask the same questions over and over. Okay, media provoked him. Media kept on pushing this man till he had a mental break, and that is what we saw today.
Man, listen.
Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown mentally snapped today. What you saw was Antonio Brown mentally snapping.
Listen, we got left field correspondent on the line with us, but one thing I'm not finna do.
DC!
One thing I'm not finna do is sit here and try to put blame on somebody else for this man just doing something that we've never seen another player in the world of sports ever do in the middle of a game.
Look,
your team was losing, you're already down your best wide receiver, and your head coach approaches you on the sideline and tells you to go in the game, and you said, no, I'm not going in. So what caused him to snap in the middle of a game? I can understand if you snap in the press conference, but what caused you to do that in the middle of a game? Because the question the media is asking him ain't got nothing to do with what the head coach of the football team is saying. Absolutely nothing.
No. And you're right on that. But all I'm saying is that the media pulling their stuff on top of everything else. Okay, it's simple, man. They push.
So okay, with that theory, can we sit here and say
you tag CC. You tagged. It's like the Road Warriors. It's like the Road Warriors.
First,
you tagged.
Gentlemen, Happy New Year.
Yep.
Happy New Year to you too, CC.
To all of y'all. I'm going to get the pleasantries out the way. Happy New Year. Please be patient with me because I have a few different things about what happened right now.
Oh, okay.
Number one,
we got a 3-hour show, bro. Well, we can make it a 3-hour show.
Number one, everyone knows AB is not cognizant all the time. Sometimes
he's not
off his rocker. Everyone knows that.
Yep.
Everyone knows that. Now, Bruce Arians is a liar. He is a certified liar. And y'all know he's a certified liar. And the fact that they are saving him and just berating AB, y'all know it's a crock of BS. If AB was not told to come back in the game, if AB was told he is not going to go back in the game, that's why he was doing what he did on the sidelines. That's why he was acting out of pocket.
Yeah, but
don't tell me Bruce Arians told him he's going to come back in the game. No, if he told him he's going to go back in the game, he would have sat down like he has done the last year and almost 9 months. He's going to get back in the game. Bruce Arians told him he's not getting back in the game.
Yeah, he told him that after the fact. After the fact, he wasn't going back in. This wasn't before. This was after he started the tirade. He was told he wasn't going back in. Then he proceeded with what he did.
I don't believe
AB don't get the benefit of the doubt with me because
at all.
So if BA
and that's
if,
why
if
that's
BA
why.
Says
AB don't get the benefit of the doubt,
you know, this is what it is, then I'm going with the head coach over AB because this dude got signed a humongous contract with the Raiders, didn't even make it out of training camp.
That has nothing to do with what's happening in town.
No,
I understand what you're saying.
But his attitude has everything to do with what's happening.
That was what, 4 years ago?
But his,
that was 4 years
his,
ago.
His attitude has everything to do with
they
it.
They got a ring, right? Because of Antonio Brown, right?
Yeah, we got a ring because of him. We got a ring because of Evans, Godwin, Gronk, Brady, Leonard Fournette, the offensive line. Who else you want me to name?
I'm just saying, that happened with the Raiders 4 years ago. That has nothing to do with anything about what happened today. That is, your head coach is a liar. AB is BSC. That's crazy. And that's all in water that's oil and water and a hot pan, bro. You know that. And again, I'm somewhat appalled that I am somewhat siding on AB, but I know Bruce Arians is a liar. Y'all have known that for the last, 3 years he's been coaching. He's a liar. He lied. He has lied on different players. And he's just a certified liar. The way he talks, the way he berates the coaching staff, bruh, he does a whole lot of stuff that Bill Belichick don't do. And Bill Belichick do some underhanded stuff.
Yeah. So well again,
you talking about Jay Glazer. Jay Glazer is the NFL's show pony.
Yeah, but you know what? When Jay Glazer report on something, he usually got good sources on what he's talking about. So rarely is Jay Glazer wrong when he reporting on stuff because he getting it from
Bruce Arians lying like a mug.
Well,
bro.
You know what? Maybe in other situations he is, but I tend to think this situation, he ain't lying. If he is, I want to hear a different story from somebody else. But if I can't get a confirmation from Mike Evans, who was standing right there, or O.J. Howard, who was standing right there, or A.B. himself, then I'm going
there's a hush order on them. You know it's a hush order.
Well,
you know it's a hush order.
Like I said, A.B. don't get no benefit of the doubt with me after I seen the tirade he caused in Oakland. He ain't getting no benefit of the doubt, so I'm siding with Bruce Arians because it sounded like something he would do because he did it to John Gruden in Oakland. So he don't give a crap about who the coach is. He don't care about AB is all about AB, and Bruce Arians was right. He didn't want nothing to do with the diva. I didn't either when he came here because. You know, at some point, he ain't going to last long. He's a rental player. And the only reason he was here was because of Brady. Now, he done shot Brady in the chest because Brady backed him up to get him in here. And he done told everybody on the team, you can kiss my behind. I'm out.
No, in the middle of a game. Okay, let's just clarify one thing. He didn't shoot Brady in the chest. Brady is not going to get any
saying is that man went to bat for him to be here. And you don't think he went to bat for him to be re-signed? Evans took a pay cut. Brady took a pay cut. How many people took pay cuts to return the same team this year?
Quite a few.
Let me ask you a question, Debo. I'm sorry, William. I have to get this one out. Let me ask you a question.
No, go for it, CP.
Debo.
Yeah.
I have to ask you a question. You have a free agent. You have a whole class of free agents, right?
Yeah.
You got Antonio Brown, certified Hall of Famer. He is. I don't care what people say. His numbers are certified.
He was if he could have played long enough.
His numbers are good enough, bro.
He got six good years in Pittsburgh. Six.
Okay.
Most people don't have three.
With another question. What is the criteria? What are we talking about criteria being for the Hall of Fame? Is it the character or is it the numbers? Because it's supposed to be numbers.
Well, okay. Well, let's just put it like this.
If it's the character, there's a few people up in there that shouldn't be.
Hold
in
on. There. Let's just put it like this. When it comes that time, whenever he decides to retire, 5 years from that date, first.
Okay, so 5 years from today,
you got other people that's more that's more deserving that's waiting their time.
Okay,
now he's got to go against to get in. So,
okay, but
I'm not talking about the duration of the wait list to go in the Hall of Fame. I'm talking about his numbers signify that he is Hall of Fame level player. That's all I'm saying.
If he gets in there or not,
I don't care if he makes it. I'm just saying he has the numbers to do that. All I was saying is you have the free agent class. You got AB, and who's the next player able to make an impact on this team the way that needed? No one. And Brady knows no one else can make an impact on that team. That's why he went to Antonio Brown. That's the only reason. There was no one else able to make an impact at wide receiver.
Okay, so you got
at that time as a free agent.
No, you of course as a free agent. As a free agent. Right. But the point I'm making is you had him on your team before, so they want to bring him back to run it back. Okay? So, of course you want that guy back cuz he's a good player. He's a good player. He's one of your better offensive players on the team. So, yeah, why not? But at the same time, he don't get no pass for.
Oh no, he's a cancer. He's a cancer.
Exactly.
I'll never tell you he is a cancer.
And we know that going in.
I'm just saying, the media is beating him down immediately, and they don't even know what happened. And you can see something ain't right in the stew because he's never done something like that. The closest thing I've ever seen a player do that was Randy Moss with the Raiders when he walked off the field a few minutes before the end of the game.
Yeah,
right.
AB
halftime.
AB walked out on Pittsburgh in the middle of a game.
Why you think he ain't down no more?
Yeah, that's what started his whole downfall in Pittsburgh is because he left them. I don't think it was halftime. I think it was like in the fourth quarter, but he walked off the field in the middle of a game in Pittsburgh. So it's not the first time he's done it. I came on, I was just reading some more, a report from Jay Glazer. He had an exclusive interview with Bruce Arians after Arians' press conference. And Arians told Glazer that at the time, he asked Antonio Brown to get in the game because he's in this package, and Brown refused, so he told him to leave. Okay, this does not make sense.
I can't fathom that, bro.
It don't make sense because we ain't never seen this happen before.
This don't make sense.
It don't make sense at all to me. And I know he has issues, but that don't make sense.
And Evans and O.J. Howard was trying to keep him calm, keep him cool, so to avoid all this. And he said, forget it. I'm done. Took his pass off, threw his pass over to the bench, threw his helmet.
And said, I quit.
Somebody I know was at the game videotaping. You can hear him on the videotape saying, I quit.
Yeah, you can read his mouth as soon as he took his pads off and threw him on the bench.
You can see.
And started walking away. You can see him say, I quit.
The angles. You can see all the angles saying he quit. But you can't see the conversation with Bruce Arians or Leftwich
or anybody
else. That's my question.
Right.
That's
I want to know what started it. I want to know what started it. I mean,
We all know he's a head case. We all know he's a cancer. We all know he's got issues, you know, whether they're on the field, off the field. You know, we know all of us in the quote-unquote media and the podcast world and everything else, we all know that AB has issues. We've known that since his days in Pittsburgh. We knew it with the Raiders. Everyone knows that. But what in the hell set him off today?
Well, I heard something, and I'm waiting to confirm, you know, from something that this was the case, but I heard from somewhere that he was upset about, and I don't know if this is true or not. That's why I don't, you know, I'm just saying this is what I heard, but he was upset about, I guess he was open a few times, and Brady missed him.
Well, Brady wasn't on his best game today. That's for damn sure.
And
Brady was trash again. Brady was trash again.
Brady
He's been trash
play
for the last 6 weeks.
Brady can't play in cold. I shouldn't say Brady can't play in cold weather because he's had some of his best games up in New England when it's been 2 feet of snow on the damn ground, but. Mm-hmm. As he's gotten older, his cold weather game has gotten worse.
Right.
Well, you don't want to play in the cold.
You know, the cold weather in New York today, I don't know if that was a case to why Brady looked like crap. But no, Carlton's right. Brady hasn't looked good in 4 or 5 weeks. And they've been squeaking by these games because they've been playing – a product of their schedule, and they've been playing weak teams. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get – they may not get out of the first round of the playoffs.
We might not. I've been saying this for freaking months. And it's not just Brady. You know, it's not just Brady, but mainly
no,
if we can't stop nobody, it don't matter what Brady doing.
Defense is,
and we ain't stopping nobody.
Then that, Brady –
The defense has been a colander all year. So,
right now, if the playoffs started today, we would be playing in San Francisco.
And that's probably a loss because San Francisco wanted
to. Or, I'm sorry, San Francisco would be coming to Tampa.
Right. San Francisco would be coming to Tampa.
Still be a loss. We can't stop anyone.
Can't stop nobody.
Same thing we've been dealing with the last 10 years. We can't stop anyone.
Hey, but let everybody else tell it. We got a great defense now. Stop talking about a great defense.
Well, today, the thing that...
Are you talking about... You can talk about the Patriots defense? Yes, they did a 50 on them. They put a 50 on them. Are you talking about the Seattle defense? Yeah, they put the money on them.
No, I'm talking about the Bucks, man. Go in those Buccaneer groups and say our defense trash and see what happens.
Good old Trevor Lawrence, number one pick.
But
threw his second touchdown in 9 weeks.
What?
Bust.
He hadn't thrown a touchdown in 8 weeks leading into today's game. Today would have been the 9th week, and he finally threw it. He threw one touchdown in the last 8 weeks.
Man, are you serious right now?
No, I'm 100% serious. And you want to know what else is funny? Listen to this stat. The Giants finished today's game. The New York Giants finished today's game negative 10 passing yards.
How do you do that?
How the
Mike?
But what?
Mike Glennon, baby.
Hold on, bro. So hold on,
Mike Glennon, baby.
How do you finish a game with negative 10 passing?
It would have been negative 20 if it weren't for Glennon's neck.
My boy just snapped.
Oh, wow.
My boy just snapped the ball and run backwards. Wow. I mean, how many passing, how many passing y'all see half?
I mean, that saves him 10 yards on a sack, right? The next week.
quarterback sneak for the Knicks.
Dude.
Inspector Gadget, Nick.
Mike Glenn ahead.
Go Golden. Gadget.
24 yards. Dude had 24
yards.
No, everybody remember he's the quarterback that was supposedly better than Josh Freeman, right?
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean at the time that's what Chiano said.
Yeah.
He need to go back to Rutgers. he needs to go back to Rutgers and play. He got a 30-year-old contract to play a quarterback for Rutgers.
Oh man.
His winning record is going to be 57-435.
They were the first team since 2009. The first team since 2009. That's 12 years to finish with negative passing yards.
Man, look. Giants already know that they got. I don't care what they said. They go in all in on Russell Wilson. Trust me, if Russell Wilson gives any indication he wants to be in New York, the Giants are going to freaking eat that up. Like,
if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm not approving no trade to the Giants. I'm not waving my no trade calls to go to New York.
Here's Glennon's stat line.
Listen.
Glennon's stat line.
Oh.
4 of 11 for 24 yards and 2 picks. 4 of 11 for 24 yards and 2 picks.
In a whole game.
In a whole game.
Not
in a whole game.
He was a starter.
He was sacked. He was the starter, yes. He was sacked 4 times.
Man, so that means, let's see, negative 10.
Neck.
So
he bring it down while his neck.
you can't horse collar him because his neck is too tall. You can't get behind his jersey. There's no horse collar tackle.
No. You never get caught for horse collar with Mike Glennon.
Never get caught for a horse tackle.
Man, you all wrong. You're all so wrong.
My boy got a neck like a stegosaurus.
He eats tree leaves.
My boy,
they're gonna implement. Yeah, giraffe neck collar.
not the cowboy collar. He need a giraffe neck collar.
Giraffe neck collar.
my man eat his vegetables off of trees.
on the top shelf.
Top shelf vegetables. Oh man!
See him hide. He's gonna be hiding underneath the tree.
I see you
poking his head out.
Look at his head sticking out of that palm tree.
He's in the grocery store. The old lady goes up to him and's like, "Can you see if there's something 3 aisles over for me?"
Okay, go go gadget neck.
Go gadget.
Go, Glennon. Go, Glennon, go.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, that man can't be. He can't be a backup quarterback no more, man.
Who is Dr. Claw? Who is his arch enemy?
Dr. Octopus.
Nah, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
Oh, Kurt Cousins. Kurt Cousins.
Kurt Cousins.
Kurt Cousins. Dr. Claw.
Oh boy!
Oh Lord, have mercy!
Jeez.
Oh, the clown sessions on this listen, show are amazing.
But for real though, they did some messed up stuff today with AB and Arians, and I don't blame AB so much. It's still a bad look. But I don't blame him so much because your head coach should have been able to rein that in.
Mm.
But he's a bad head coach. I'm sorry. I don't care about the rings. He's a bad head coach because he cannot control his team. He had the same issue in Indy, he had the same issue in Arizona, and he's still doing the same thing. He cannot control his team.
Well, they said one of the things that was good about Bruce Arians was the way he handled the locker room. That's what they were saying. I mean,
what they were saying.
Nah, I'll tell you this.
I don't care about what they say.
When
they are liars as well.
When AB left Arizona, he kind of left him with a bare cupboard. They wasn't that good for a while until freaking Kingsbury showed up, and then they revamped the front office and stuff like that. And you see now what you see is not a product of, Bruce Arians, what he left, because they pretty much rebuilt that whole team from the bottom up. So
I would agree with you.
I would agree with left fielder correspondent in that sense of, I think, Brie's a good guy. He's a great dude. He's been around the game a long time and battled through a lot, obviously with, dealing with cancer and stuff like that, getting through that. You want to root for that guy, to be successful, but putting him in the conversation as one of the top coaches in the league, I don't think we can put him there. I mean, he's not one enough. He's not in Mike Tomlin category.
When you start talking about top coaches, you're talking about coaches that have resumes.
Yeah, long-standing resumes as head coaches.
And you're right. Regardless if he's a good guy, whatever, you can't put him in that category with Bill Belichick. You can't put him in that category with Mike Tomlin. You can't put him in that court. Mm-hmm. You might be able to put him in that category with, like,
be careful.
I was just gonna say somebody like a Mike McCarthy or something like that. Because to me,
what?
Mike McCarthy had
no,
huh?
No, no.
No.
To me, Mike McCarthy
resume looked better, man.
Yes, Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, but can we just face facts that had he not inherited that Green Bay team that Mike Holmgren built, that it would have taken him a lot longer to get that accomplished, because after he left, after Mike Holmgren left and Mike McCarthy took over, you saw what Mike McCarthy had. I'm not saying Mike McCarthy is a bad coach, but if he was a good coach, if he was up on one of those pillars, like the Belichicks, like the Tomlins, he would have still been in Green Bay.
You know why he's not in Green Bay? Because he never built
Aaron Rodgers.
He never built a defense in Green Bay. So
no,
that was and he inherited a good defense in Dallas to bring them a better offense than they had under Jason Garrett.
I mean, he inherited a
built a better defense in Dallas.
Well, that's because Jerry. That's because Jerry Jones
drafted very well.
You know, that's because Jerry Jones and the boys. You know, they making the calls. Mike McCarthy was more in control of the roster decisions in Green Bay, where in Dallas he's not.
Okay, but I mean,
and I know plenty of Dallas fans living out here in Colorado. They all migrate up from Texas and whatnot. I know plenty of Dallas fans, and they can't stand Mike McCarthy. They want him gone.
He's not a top tier coach.
No, he's never been a top tier.
He's not. So when you guys start throwing the tomatoes at me because I say Mike McCarthy is not on that top tier, you all take those tomatoes and y'all can put them somewhere else.
No, but what we're saying is Mike McCarthy resume as a head coach
is better than Bruce Arians.
His resume is way better.
He's been a head coach longer.
But is it really?
He's been a head coach longer.
He has more winning seasons. He has more winning seasons than Bruce Arians.
Okay, well, I would hope he would have more winning seasons if he's been the head coach longer.
He's got more playoff appearances. He's had better rosters around him.
Yes, because he inherited those rosters.
Yeah, but at some point, dude, I mean, he was in Green Bay for like 10 years, bro. And at some point, the argument of what he inherited is thrown out the window after so many years. You continue that success. You can't just.
Yeah, but okay. When did Mike McCarthy win the Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers? How many years after Mike Holmgren left did Mike McCarthy win the Super Bowl?
It wasn't
that much longer.
Well, they won the Super Bowl
about 3 years after.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. That's all. Thank you.
But again, Green Bay has been a perennial contender
every year since Brett Favre been there.
For every year, from Holmgren till the new dude.
Yeah.
So. I mean, they only had to build the defense and maybe get one receiver. They still haven't gotten a receiver outside of Devontae Adams.
They're still
buying a great ball.
Yeah, so McCarthy was the head coach in Green Bay from 2006 to 2018, right? They won the Super Bowl.
Okay,
They won the Super Bowl in what year is this? 2010. So that's what, four years?
4 years.
After the fact.
Okay. All right.
I think that's at that point, bro. I think that's his roster at that point. 4 years is a while.
How is that his roster?
You have to draft. You got free agency. You in four years you can develop players in 4 years.
You can.
You can turn over a roster in four years.
You can't. Well, I know you can, but did he?
They won the Super Bowl.
Because the Bucks broke,
turn,
why would you
turn a roster over every 2 years. The Bucks turn a roster over every 2 years. Every two years, the last 8 years, they've been turning the roster over.
Carlton, we are not talking about the Buccaneers with your boy Jason Lutz.
I'm just telling you. We can turn the roster over every 2 years.
All right, so
I know we could also go across the kicker in the second round too.
Where is that going?
Okay, so I'm trying to see.
So Mike McCarthy is way better than Bruce Arians.
The 2010.
He might be better, but he's not way better.
I'm looking at the 2010 Packers roster, and I'm finna go and look at the 2006 Packers roster. All right, let's see how many similarities he has in the roster from 1 year to the next.
He made sure his defensive line was set, but he never set his secondary set.
Yeah.
The one thing I remember about Mike McCarthy, his secondary was never set properly.
No, his secondary was, yeah.
Winning them Super Bowl.
Yeah, his secondary was always bad. Always bad.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. It was sometimes worse than the Bucs' secondary is now.
Yeah. Yeah, his last season he was there. They was trash. Everybody was having career days on them then.
That's why he got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the holes were so big in that secondary, you know, when you're trying to drain spaghetti, the noodles fall right through.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was that bad.
Yep. So, and
the sad part is, Arians has been, he's basically been the NBA coach.
I know who you're talking about.
The Bulls head coach, and then to the Lakers.
Phil Jackson.
Bruce Arians has that amount of talent, but he was not able to harness it for three different organizations. And I'm like, bro, you got everything you need. You got a plethora. And you got lucky. You got damn lucky that Brady changed that goddamn play calling. I'm sorry, I had to get it out. But you got lucky that Brady changed that play calling, because your
his original system
offense was trash.
Yeah, his original
your
system
offense was trash.
The no risk it, no biscuit offense. Yeah, that's not a good offense. You can't take that many shots downfield with an inaccurate quarterback.
Yeah, no, completely agree.
You can't take that amount of shots with Brady.
No.
Brady has been inaccurate.
What we're talking about now is my exact concern with Byron Leftwich becoming a head coach.
Hey, if you're
because
a head
remember,
coach, he's going to be in Jacksonville. He's going to Jacksonville.
If someone lets him go, let him go.
Yeah. Just
I'm
like
if
Todd Bowles wants to leave.
If someone lets him go, let him go.
If somebody wants Todd Bowles, I wouldn't be mad. Take him. Because, our system.
All of them.
Our players.
All of them.
Are not designed for 3-4. We have a few. Vita Vey could play in the 3-4 anywhere. You know, after that. The rest of them are defensive linemen are 4-3 guys that's being forced to play to be playing in the 3-4. Levante David is not a middle linebacker. He's a will linebacker, but they got him playing in the middle, in the 3-4. Because they got JPP and Shaq Barrett, who are not linebackers, playing outside linebacker, and they dropping them in coverage.
Right, right.
So,
okay.
Take them.
But the thing is, it is that when you start putting players in positions like you just talked about, and it doesn't work. This is what separates the good coordinators from the great coordinators, because then you adjust.
Bill Belichick would adjust it.
Tom Bowles doesn't adjust.
No.
He doesn't.
Neither does Jack Del Rio. You want Jack Del Rio to have a head coaching job? Screw that.
I did not say that. I just asked you if you thought he would get a call. That is all
he better
I asked.
Not.
Nah, I don't think
he better not, because he sucks. He sucks. We had a 16-7 lead, and then I understand the offense sucked in the second half, but if your offense is going to suck, you've got to make adjustments to be able to keep the damn opponent out of the end zone, and he didn't do that. And they give up all those points this afternoon in the second half, and you know they get eliminated from the playoffs. So,
but
I hope that's one of the coaches that is gone next year. A lot of people want Scott Turner gone. I don't want Scott Turner gone. I think Scott Turner is a great offensive coordinator.
I think what he's done with that team on the offensive end has been a miracle. I mean,
you don't have any stars on that offense.
Well, I think if Scott Turner is going to be your answer to offensive coordinator, then it should be his decision or his choice who the quarterback is. Because if you sit there and you put a quarterback in an offense with an offensive coordinator that doesn't want him there, and I will prove my point to this, it won't succeed. And to that point, if you go back and you actually read remarks made by Matt, who was that offensive coordinator for Lovie Smith at Tampa? I don't even think he coached a game for Tampa. He up and he left.
I don't even know who you're talking about. For Lovie? You talking about
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. That man, no.
No, hold on.
That's the dude that had the heart attack. The heart procedure before the season, and then they had Josh McCown as basically the offensive coordinator helping coordinate the offensive game plan that whole season.
Oh,
the dude who was a college coach.
Yeah, he was a college coach.
He couldn't even make it to the season.
I can butt in for the Sanders.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here.
We got Nikki Buckets on the line.
Sure, please.
Nikki.
Hey.
Hey, Nikki, really quick. How was your nap, Nikki?